Hi, Shavua Tov. It's Rabbi Jim Egolf, and I am just tickled this week because we had a wonderful group come in from Israel called Seeds of Sung, and just had a wonderful, fantastic jazz Shabbat with music and spirit and ruach and everything. And so we're just flying on cloud nine right now. Hopefully I'll have a chance to share some of that music with you in coming weeks and in coming podcasts. And we'll get to the words of the week in just a few moments. Shabbat Shalom. It was 67 years ago this week that the words of Rabbi Nachman of Bratslav came palpably real to citizens of our country. In one of his metaphors, Rabbi Nachman of Bratslav describes the world as a very narrow bridge, the Ha'ikar Lo Lefaked Klal, and the ultimate issue that he says with regards to the journey on this very narrow bridge through our lives is that we should not be frightened by the journey. So it was almost 7 years ago that the bridge known as Galloping Gertie, the Tacoma Narrows Bridge, began to remind some of us that bridges may be narrow, and others might just make us wonder about why we would ever get on any bridge. Galloping Gertie, as the bridge was known, was the bridge that infamously began to sway violently until it collapsed into the waters below. The only casualty of the episode was Tubby, a black male Cocker Spaniel who was alone in the car on the bridge. And even though there were efforts to save him, Tubby decided to bite those who would have been his rescuers. Neither the car nor Tubby were ever recovered. The world, pictured as a narrow bridge, ties into our Torah portion this week, except that that bridge is in the shape of a bowl of lentils, exquisitely prepared lamb, and the skin of that poor little lamb. In the Torah portion, it appears that we should be saying, possibly saying, Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Velohei Esav. But the narrow, and perhaps scary, bridge is traversed by various acts of trickery and just plain good deal-making. Jacob first barters the birthright from Esau, and then actually steals the blessing of the firstborn by posing as Esau. At the end of the Torah portion, Jacob must flee to Laban, to the safety of his uncle's house. This notion of not knowing seems to define Jacob's encounters in the Parsha. The whole notion of what is unknown defines Rebekah and her pregnancy with the twins. She says, "If this is the battle that's going on within me, then why do I live?" As Esau and Jacob don't wait until they're born to start sibling rivalry, they decide to start in the womb. Then there's the whole issue of how will Isaac replace Esau? I mean, Isaac, at some level, does really seem to like his older son. And at the same time, there's a question as to whether or not both he and Jacob are both aware of the lie that they participate in, so that Jacob will actually become the progenitor of the children of Israel. And of course, then there's the question of to what lengths will Jacob go in order to be able to be the one who inherits the blessing of the firstborn, to be the one who has the birthright. Clearly, the birthright was, even under duress, at least made consciously, but to have the blessing stolen always leaves some people wondering, you know, was this really a good thing to do? Clearly, these are issues in the Torah portion, and they seem to also be issues in our world today. Namely, the problem of who is pretending to be who, and who can you really trust at the end of the day? This week, in our run-up to our presidential primaries, we saw something that did not meet our expectations. Again, the question of who is who and what are they willing to do? It is reported this week that the following endorsement occurred. Washington. Televangelist Pat Robertson endorsed Rudolph Giuliani's campaign yesterday, a surprising embrace that underscored the divisions among Christian conservatives about the candidates for the Republican presidential nomination. Alone, Robertson's support of the former New York mayor was unusual for a Christian conservative who once blamed the 2001 terrorist attacks on American sins such as abortion and a social liberal who supports abortion rights and gay rights. But coming the same day that another prominent Christian conservative, Senator Sam Brownback of Kansas — why a senator is a prominent Christian conservative in a secular society, I don't know, but we'll continue on — endorsed Senator John McCain of Arizona, and 2 days after influential conservative Paul Weinrich endorsed former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, it was a fresh sign that one of the most influential blocks of voters in the party remains splintered. That's good news for Giuliani. It suggests that Christian conservatives aren't ready to coalesce behind any single candidate and are unable to stop Giuliani from winning the nomination. Now, when I heard this, I was surprised, since I thought I knew Pat Robertson and Rudy Giuliani. Rudy is running on the, I guess, the moderate idea that he would moderately keep all the values of his party at the forefront. However, during his time as mayor, he was not known for being an extremist on social issues. In fact, this was considered to be his Achilles heel when it came to running for president of the United States. Now, I know that many people feel it is inappropriate for politics and religion to mix, and whenever Pat Robertson stops endorsing candidates, maybe I'll have to stop talking about some degree of politics, but this bedfellowing of religious leaders coming out and consciously endorsing candidates somehow doesn't seem to bother anyone out there in their particular realms, and so it's appropriate to comment on them because it forces it into the religious discussion in our country. However, this week I did have to wonder how certain issues were reconciled. I had to wonder how Pat Robertson could concur with the late Jerry Falwell on the causes of 9/11. That would be the statement that homosexuality and abortion caused the catastrophe, and how Rudy could accept the endorsement of a person who would agree with such a claim on national television. In fact, it was reported by Susan Walsh of the Associated Press on March 23, 2007, Washington: Mayor Giuliani's past support for gay rights may put him at odds with social conservatives, but it is in tune with one small yet vocal constituency, the Log Cabin Republicans, a gay group, GOP group with a history of complicating the nomination paths for the party's presidential contenders. The Log Cabin group claims a membership of about 20,000 gay and lesbian Republicans nationwide and has fought against a federal amendment banning same-sex marriage. Now, I can understand how Robertson, based on his religious values, could oppose Rudy, but endorsing him is something different. As I heard this, I wondered how strong Pat Robertson's religious values really are if he endorses such a candidate as Rudy Giuliani. I also wonder, how could Giuliani accept such an endorsement? He has accepted the blessing. Yes, Robertson is still a minister by his own claims and those of many others, of a man who blamed the worst tragedy ever to befall an American city for almost a century to openly support him. One could only wonder how these two ever came to an agreement. However, one thing is for certain. Someone has decided that something crucial is not as important as it once was. Either Robertson really does not hate homosexuals and abortion as much as he has claimed to, or Giuliani, it appears, has made promises we don't know about to gain the religious credibility he needs to overcome previous positions and his various marriages. All I can say is that the stunned silence of most is getting increasingly deafening. I'm not sure of this relationship and how far it can go. I kind of wonder back in our Torah portion, who is it who has put the lambskin on their arm so that the other one, when out, stretching the hand out to feel it, says, ah, you must be the right one, you get the blessing. I might be less skeptical and suspicious, but for the religious rite's remaining leader to throw his hat in the ring for Rudy, all I can say is, stay tuned. We'll see how this blessing turns out. Speaking of deafening and extremely narrow bridges, we have also seen other disturbing events this week. Our ally in the war on terror, Pakistan, is teetering on the brink of a coup or civil war. This would be distressing if it were any country in our world, but in Pakistan, it's downright scary. First, Pakistan is the country we have to traverse to get to Afghanistan. If Musharraf goes, we may be in a real pickle, and I don't think that the Iranians are in the mood to be nice at the moment and let us to have flyover privileges there. Additionally, this is one of two countries in that part of the world with nuclear weapons, and the Pakistanis have been known to share their knowledge and expertise with others before. If something goes awry in this country, the bridge upon which we must cross will begin to resemble a very scary bridge, and we might actually want to try to take our chances on Galloping Gertie before we want to go over this particular span of difficulties and troubled waters. So what do we need to be doing? We need to support any people who are not writing our foreign policy based on best-case scenarios. This is not always an option, but when we have to oppose democracy in Pakistan to keep Musharraf in power, which country did we live in again? When those who have agreed to justify the deaths of over 3,000 Americans due to God's will, when such a person endorses candidates who are viewed as moderate on these same exact issues, well, that just leaves me scratching my head in disbelief. And if you've seen my head as of late, you know that the bald spot on the top is getting a lot larger. The truth is that in both instances, I feel that we are missing a critical ingredient. That would be integrity. Either we stand for democracy or we don't. Either we have strongly held beliefs or we don't. But playing politics with such difficult issues and problems will ensure one thing. The bridge upon which we are trying to travel is getting narrower and narrower and more scary. And that our only hope is not to deny our worst fears, but to act and plan so we, our children, and our world don't have to face a narrow bridge every time something bad happens in our world. Shabbat Shalom. Music you hear on this podcast is available from Magnatune.com. That's Magnatune.com.
Yisrael.